In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. I wanted to read how that crowd shifts from such excitement about Jesus to rage that almost sends him off the cliff. And I want to set it up both this week and next week so you get a bigger picture of perhaps what is going on here. Because if we just read up to today, scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing, we just have a picture of the amazement and not the challenge. And it's perhaps the shortest sermon ever preached. What comes across in the first part of that gospel is this breathless crowd. Here's the carpenter's son, Jesus, this kid who at one point got lost in the caravan and he was found teaching in the temple. And now he's grown up and he's back in that temple. Only this time, he's just spent 40 days in the desert. That's where he's coming from. And Jesus hasn't performed any miracles yet in the Gospel of Luke, but he's been preparing. And he's on the scene now and he's back home. Tom Wright comments in his text, Luke for Everyone, Jesus has been preparing for this for a long time, like a brilliant musician practicing or an athlete in training. He's been praying, studying, and passing a grueling test out there in the wilderness. And here he is, emerged from the wilderness. This had been his final preparation before his ministry unfolded. So I wonder what Jesus looked like after 40 days in the desert. Methodist pastor Jonathan Gaylord has this image of Jesus. Here is a dusty, emaciated, threadbare son of a local craftsman showing up to read the prophet Isaiah about how God is going to look out for the poor, oppressed, captive, and blind. The people might have just been amazed and praised Jesus just because they were surprised he was standing, let alone reading scripture. He unrolls that scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He probably unrolled it several times before. And people had heard those words proclaimed many times. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. You'd think Jesus, who just spent 40 days being tempted by the devil, would come back depleted, but he comes back fuller than ever. And he says, salvation is happening in your very midst. And you'd think he would complete the reading of that scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He very seemingly intentionally leaves out the last line to proclaim the day of vengeance of our God. Now, Tom Wright suggests that Jesus' omission of revenge from his mission would have offended these first century Jews who understandably hungered for God's vengeance on a whole host of enemies and oppressors. A wholly human longing, it seems. So it wasn't his eloquence, Wright says, that astonished them, but his speaking about God's grace. Grace for everybody, including the nations, instead of grace just for Israel and fierce judgment for everyone else. And then Jesus ends this epic reading of the scroll by proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. A jubilee year. We're not really sure if anybody's ever actually practiced the jubilee year. It's essentially a vision of a reset button every 50 years for all people. It meant restoring a level playing field for all people. And in the United States today, it would be a coup. A radical distribution of all land and wealth so that everyone has the exact same resources. Jesus is proclaiming a vision for the kingdom of God, and he's dusty, emaciated, and just emerged from the desert. And it thrills and terrifies and enrages the people. So how's this good news for us today? Just this past week, I was talking with one of our young adults here at Calvary. The conversation was essentially about how we can, as the church and members of it, most fully be the body of Christ. And this young man spoke of another man he met who's come to Calvary for worship a few times, and he came dusty, emaciated, and in need of help. So he and another member of the church listened to his story and took him out and bought him a few gallons of gas, give him a way to get on his way. And the young adult was troubled by this encounter. He said, how do we go beyond this? How do we bring good news to the poor we encounter? How do we offer hope to the hurting in our midst? The people in Nazareth heard Jesus proclaim in a sentence that the scripture had been fulfilled in their hearing, and presumably through Jesus. Great, a savior to take away the hurt and suffering of this world. But today we have a broader perspective. The savior of the world, Jesus, came to show us that the kingdom of God is in our midst, and that the Holy Spirit perhaps fills us up most when we're willing to travel through the wilderness. We hear from Paul today about the body of Christ. For in the one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. Jews and Greeks, slaves and free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. Saint Teresa of Avila once famously wrote, Christ has no body on earth now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes. You are his body. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. I don't know about you, but those scriptures put together are both stunning and terrifying. There's this promise we each make in our baptism. Will you seek to serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? I have to ask myself, and I always ask people when they're preparing for their child to be baptized or they're preparing to be baptized themselves, who's the person that is hardest to seek Christ in? Think of the most despicable person whom you loathe, or the person who irritates you the most. Now imagine what it would be like to seek Christ in her or him. Many of us come to church looking for hope. And the truth is, today's scripture can be fulfilled in our hearing. But it takes us as a body opening our hearts to the Spirit, so that God can be at work through our collective and individual hands and feet. God might be working through the person who bothers us the most. That's the hope. The hope is that we'll see it, that we'll be it. And do you actually believe that Christ dwells in you? Have you ever claimed that for yourself? Christ dwelling in you? Will you seek to serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? Before Jesus started his ministry, before he was Christ for all people, he needed that time of preparation in the desert. Ruth C. Duck asks, what wilderness must we engage to emerge filled with the Holy Spirit, capable of serving Christ in others and in ourselves? Well, the response to that question, will you seek to serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself, is, I will, with God's help. We need God's help if we are truly going to respond to the needs of this world as the body of Christ. We need God to help us to see which members of the body are present in our midst. And we need God to help us to see which members of the body of Christ are missing among us. And we especially need Christ's body and blood to fuel us, to join us together as we gather together week by week and are strengthened as Christ's body. Christ has no body but yours. And today's scripture has the power to be fulfilled in our hearing with God's help. Amen.
Amen.